الله لنا ملجأ وقوة، عونا في الضيقات وجد شديدا. لذلك لا نخشى، ولو تزحزحت الأرض ولو انقلبت الجبال إلى قلب البحار، تعج وتجيش المياه فتزعزع الجبال سيلا.
Tonight, missiles pierce the night sky over Tel Aviv.
Look, we had these already gave a chance. We did everything we could.
1 million people are still displaced. At least 600.
Says it only escaped from this.
Egypt's enemy tanker left the Damascus Bridge shot out in
control over some of its own skies.
Heavenly Father, we come to you as your people in the midst of all kind of hardship across the Middle East and North Africa. You see the constant and growing challenges that we face as your people, as the nations are in uproar. Creation itself is groaning, and we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. And yet, in the face of every hardship we have faced, we know that you have continued to move. Your strength is powerfully at work all across the region. Jesus, you promised that you would build your church and that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. We are hard-pressed, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. What the enemy means for evil, you have turned for good. Thank you that your spirit is even using persecution to grow your church in the region. We remember the martyrs who gave their lives knowing that unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it cannot bear much fruit. Thank you for establishing your church in places it has never been before as your gospel goes forth to the ends of the earth. We thank you for the commitment of ministry partners who continue to serve in the region with perseverance and faith, believing that in the midst of such difficult soil, there is a great harvest of souls. In the midst of the darkness and fear that cover the region, we acknowledge our brothers and sisters who have turned away from the majority religion to embrace you, often facing rejection, persecution, and even death. Thank you for showing yourself to them over and over as the God of all comfort and giving them the courage to stare death in the eyes for the sake of your name. You are worthy, Lord. We bless your name, Lord Jesus, and we praise you for turning our mourning into joy and our sorrow into gladness. You have made your light to shine in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So it is in your wonderful name that we boldly ask you for more of your glory to be made known all across the region as you call millions of people out of their darkness and into your kingdom of marvelous light. Give your people more grace as we face trouble, hardship, danger, nakedness, famine, and sword. Encourage us and remind us that we are more than conquerors in you, and that nothing in all creation can separate us from your love. Give your workers all across the region more wisdom and endurance as you lead us by your example as the ultimate servant sent to seek and save the lost. Continue to raise up a new generation of leaders to shepherd your church into all grace and truth. Help us, Lord, as we walk through difficult times, to fix our eyes on you and not on the circumstances. For now we see dimly, but we know a day is coming that we will see clearly, and that every eye will see you, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We long for that day, Lord Jesus. Thank you for promising to keep us until the very end. Oh, how we love you, Lord, for you are worthy. In your name we pray. Amen.
From our point of view, it sometimes looks like evil is abounding in the world right now, and winning. But for a fact that the victory belongs to God. So, sorry. Let me share some verses about that for us. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And then he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the earth to the other. Matthew 24:29-31. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. Revelation 1:7. God considers it just to repay affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted, as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. 2 Thessalonians 1:6-10. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, then who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:15-17. And then the last verse from Isaiah, of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So the victory of God is coming, and we're looking forward to that. sorry. And the victory of God is the coming of Jesus Christ to punish all who have rejected his grace, to banish all evil from this earth into hell, to gather his people, us, from all the nations and from all the ends of the earth, and to establish his righteousness, peace, joy forever, and be worshipped by his people with love and affection forever and ever. That is the victory of God. So the victory of God is certain, but we do have a part to play. In Matthew 6, Jesus taught us how to pray, and he says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come, and let your will be done on earth as it is perfectly done in heaven right now." Jesus is saying, pray. Pray for your kingdom to come right now in these circumstances, in the midst of the world that we're living in right now. Come, Jesus. Bring the victory. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done. John Knox, that famous preacher of Scotland, said, "Lord, give me Scotland or I'll die. Give me Windhoek, Lord. Give us Namibia. Give us the nations. Come, Lord, and bring your kingdom. Let your kingdom come." In Matthew 24:14, Jesus said, "This gospel of the kingdom of God will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So you need someone to stand up and walk to someone else, open his mouth, and share the word of God. Now, in the Middle East, we often hear about people having visions of Jesus and dreams. And that happens a lot. But they always end up, the Lord always lead them to a Christian church or to a Christian person who shares the word of God with them. There was a teenage boy in Somalia. And his father was a pirate and a Muslim. And he had these visions from Jesus 7 times. And the last one was very vivid. He was standing in the doorway of his room and his mother was standing right behind him. And there was a wooden cross on his bed and the blood dripping. And he heard a voice saying, "My blood is still fresh enough for you." So he still doesn't know whether his mother saw what he saw, but she told him, "Get out, run, because your father will kill you." So he did. And the God led him to a small house church where the people shared Jesus with him. And then, of course, they also, when that happens, then they start to understand the visions and the dreams. As a Muslim, when Jesus appears to them, they often see it as Muhammad sending one of his prophets. But the moment they meet other Christians and the gospel is being shared, they understand what's going on. And today he's a pastor in Somalia. In Matthew 9:37, Jesus says that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So Matthew 24 cannot happen without Matthew 9. Because to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth, we need people to do that. But how do we get people there? Well, Jesus said we need to pray for people to go. One of the reasons that I'm involved with Open Doors is that I've got a burden for the unreached peoples, which I think is on 3.2 billion or something. That is people that does not have access to the gospel. And look, I mean, let's be honest, from this church in the next 5 or 10 years, how many people will go to some of these places? Hopefully a few. But the reality is you have to learn a new language, you have to get all sorts of visas, you have to have money, and so on. But the beauty is that Jesus is already at work, like Dana shared this morning, in that persecuted areas, through wonderful Christians and his church. His church is growing there. So I think one of the big things that we can do is to pray for them, because they are the workers where the harvest is already. And they need boldness. In Acts 4:31, Luke tells us of a gathering of early Christians. And when they had prayed, the place in which they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word with boldness. We all need boldness to share Jesus. I mean, even right here in Windhoek, which is relatively safe. So how much more do people like Dana's friend need boldness? Or the boy from Somalia? Or the lady from the Middle East that we will hear from now? So we need to pray, as Luke says, when they had prayed, the Holy Spirit came and they spoke with boldness. So we need the Holy Spirit. So before we go into time of prayer, I want to share also from the Old Testament one of those wonderful stories. Now, the king of Judah, was his name Hezekiah? Is that correct? Okay, so, all right, just want to make sure. So, he was one of the good kings of Judah, and the king of Assyria was destroyed some of the cities of, many of the cities of Judah, and surrounded Jerusalem, and he sent a letter to Hezekiah. And he says, don't even think about asking your God to help you, because he can't. We are the mighty Assyrian army. You're surrounded. You might as well give up. So Hezekiah went to the temple. He laid out the letter before God, and he prayed. And then, after that, Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into the city or shoot an arrow there or come before it with a shield or cast up a siege against it. By the way that he came, he shall go back, and he shall not come into the city, for I will defend the city to save it, for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. And that night, the angel of the Lord went to the camp of the Assyrians, and he killed 185,000 men. One man prayed, and God killed 185,000 people and saved the city. So, let's lay out the letters before God this morning and watch him fight the battle, because the victory is for sure. I would first for us to pray for the women of the Middle East. Let's pray for courage, a lot of courage, and for their needs to be provided. So in a marriage, when the wife becomes a Christian and the man doesn't, she's often being casted out of the family, and then she has to look after herself. And in many of these areas, it is not possible for that woman to go and find a job. So they do need to be, you know, the daily bread. We need to pray for that. That's important as well. For safety as well. And that they will, as Christian women, have the courage to share the gospel with their kids. There was this one North Korean story of the girl that, after her parents was taken away by the police, she found in the garden a Bible. And then later on, she asked her mother, "But you were Christians?" She said, "Yes, but we were too scared to tell you, because we know the consequences." So, let's pray for that as well. But first, let me share the story of Aiza, from a Middle Eastern country. She was walking home after work, and then when she got to her house, she saw the letter Noon. It is this. That's right. It is this Arabic N, and it's for Nazarene. So Christians are often, I think it was in the video as well, Christians are often called Nazarenes, because Jesus was from Nazareth. And the letter Noon was painted on her house, and she went in, locked the door, fasted and prayed for 3 days. And it was ISIS that did that. ISIS stands for Islamic State, Iraq and Syria. And she prayed to God that they will not come back and rape her. Because that is what often happens. And they did come back. And they did exactly that. And she found a way to a safe house that was run by Open Doors together with a local ministry. And she received counseling, medical attention, and just the love of Jesus. And as she started to heal, she went out and started telling people in churches about her story. And she, as she tells a story, people will start to confess and say, "I didn't have the courage. I betrayed Jesus when it came to it." So she continues to tell her story until this day. And then, of course, she also shares how God led her to forgive the people that did this to her. Powerful story that she shares with Christians to help them as well. So we can pray now for the woman in the persecuted church, and we can do it alone, silently. We can stand up and pray aloud. We can turn to each other, however God leads you, and then I will just close with that. Thank you. Let's pray.
have read to the church in Philippi that it has been given to us not only to believe in Jesus, but to suffer for him. And oh God, we are so keen to protect ourselves and seek comfort and have no clue at the amazing gospel spread that comes from the camel that dies for the sake of Jesus being known. So Lord, may we hold our lives cheap in this world and count ourselves insignificant for the sake of the kingdom of God. And may we fly into eternity with Jesus. And if it costs us death in our life, may we be happy, dead, alive people. For God, what is 8 years in comparison to eternity with you forever? So make us strong, God. Remove evil from us. Forgive our sins. Break us, mold us, make us more and more like Jesus. Remove all faith, and easily offended, and make us lion-hearted for the gospel's sake. And may we preach on, and lead on, and mother on, and father on, and preach on in church until we die happy. We ask you, for you have taught us to pray, and so we pray asking you. And will the God who has promised and instructed us to ask, not give, as he will. He gave his son for the church. And we bless you, God. Amen.
Father, I pray that you will help us to make this a regular thing. That we don't just pray today in church and have one special event, but that this event will continue to happen, Lord, that we will have regular meetings where we pray for the persecuted church, where we meet as a congregation to pray for them, not only as a group of people, but as a congregation that we meet and we pray for this persecuted church, these brothers and sisters of ours that are suffering because they love you. Let us love them as you love them. Help us to make the time to pray to you, to ask you for help, Lord. Help us to make this a part of who we are and what we do. I pray that in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. So, next, let's pray for the fathers, the men, the dads. So let me share the story of Yazil and her dad, Hussein. So Yazil was walking from school along the river in southern Philippines, and suddenly she felt strong hands taking her, and then everything went dark. So it was Muslims that captured her. And then they started sending letters to her dad, saying, this will happen to your daughter. So you better stop preaching the gospel, because he was a pastor. And come back to Allah. Come back to the Muslim faith. And then he wrote this letter. He gave this to the messenger to give to them. To whom it may concern, I love my daughter, Yazil, very much. Please tell her that for me. But I love Jesus even more. I will never be blackmailed into giving up my love and faith in Jesus Christ, my Lord. So I'm going to pray for Yazil every day. And I'm going to pray for you, because you are now responsible before God for the care of my daughter, Hussein. So, often when the husbands and the dads come to know Jesus, they lose their jobs. They're casted out of the family, maybe out of the city. So we really need to pray for them to be able to stand strong, God will supply their needs, and they will have the courage to keep sharing Jesus. All right, so let's pray for the dads and the men.
very difficult place. We have a God-given need to protect, a God-given need to shield the families from any danger. And they face the choice of putting them in danger, of losing their family for your sake. Jesus, I pray that you give them boldness to continue to speak, but also, God, a trust in you that you'll be able to preserve their family. God, that as many of them, their entire families have given their lives to you, I pray that in the realities of the death of their families, that they will trust that first of all, God, that you will have their families with you for eternity, that they can trust that. God, I pray against a hopelessness that may cloud their hearts as militants and terrorists take these people from them. I pray that you remind them that hope, all our hope is in you, and that whatever happens to us here, that we have eternity with you. I pray that they would be encouraged by the fact that their daughters, their sons, their wives, and other family members are in your hands. But I pray that you give them boldness, that you give them courage to stand and to lead their families as examples, to continue to passionately share you with those around. But I pray that you give them grace, as often the desire for vengeance must be overwhelming, to look someone in the face who has potentially killed one of your children. Give them a supernatural grace, the grace that you have that says, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And that love to continue to share with them.
Amen. So last, let's pray for the children. There's a poem written by a young boy from a war-torn country, so which I will just read, and then we can go ahead and pray for the children. I forgot to mention, so Yazil from Southern Philippines that we just prayed or talked about, she did manage to escape from the captures, and she's married, serves Jesus, so everything worked out there. They wanted to sell her into prostitution, but she managed to escape. So that is, I think, one of the really bad things about what often happens with children, human trafficking. So, and then of course, you know, the effects of war that it has on them. Let me read the poem and then we can close by praying for the children. I cry and scream from the depth of my heart. On my knees I pray to you, O my Lord. Salvage me, salvage me. Save me, O my beloved Jesus. Let your light enlighten my path, so that I can walk through life. Let your mercy be upon me. Guide me, O my beloved Jesus. In your love I found myself. By your pains, my pains were moved away. I love you, I adore you, O my beloved Jesus. Give me your hand, give me your hand. Rise me, rise me, rise me out of the darkness, so that I may glorify you, O my beloved Jesus. Let's pray.
Father, I just pray that the love for you will increase in each and every one of us and every believer, that it drives out the fear of people around them. That your love just fills those children who your love is lacking, that they will know they belong to someone against you.